This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Johnny.
And you're way too far away from the microphone.
Microphone's way too far away from me.
Well, you keep sitting further and further back from it every week.
Well, it's that thing where we're doing a podcast. It's supposed to be a relaxed atmosphere.
Well, yeah, but the mic is a good mic that you have to be close to. I can replace it with the snowball for you.
The mic
if you
want. Is not like a good stand, is what it is.
Ah.
Yeah.
You want your arm back?
I would prefer the arm, actually.
Okay.
Not right now while we're recording, but...
Well, no, but...
Set it up.
So I looked for, just real quick, I looked for flanges for this.
Yeah?
Like, to screw the pole into there.
Right.
But it's a 5/8 inch.
Okay.
Nobody has a 5/8 inch flange.
Nowhere?
No.
Okay.
Like, I looked all over. Like, there might be some specialty shop online where I can get a threaded one.
Right.
But then I was thinking, like, okay, well, I could just drill a couple holes through there for you.
Oh, because of the balance issue?
Yeah.
Or you could just put the arm back up.
Yeah. The problem is I use this part of the desk now, so.
The arm goes over here on this part of the desk.
No, I guess your arm did. Yeah. It's still the, I don't know. Anyway.
This wasn't meant to be used for anything but the podcast.
So, anyway.
That's what that part of the desk is for work.
Well, that's personal computing, and this is work computing.
Okay. Okay, then.
That's the monitor there. Anyway, all right. I saw someone walking outside.
That would be your nephew.
Like, yeah, I know. I was like, who's walking in front of my house? Get off my lawn. Anyway.
Cool.
We're talking,
I'm digging his shoes.
Oh, his
orange,
Nikes. Yeah,
his orange Nikes.
He loves orange. That's his favorite. So, cool. All right, we're gonna talk about Mindhunter season 2, the Netflix original series.
Shouldn't it be the Netflix original series, Mindhunter season
2? I started saying Mindhunter season 2 before I thought we were
talking about Mind Flayer season 2.
Dude, that would be such a cool spinoff, is to just see like a day in the life of the Mind Flayer for 8 seasons in the Upside Down.
No,
or 8 episodes in the Upside Down.
No, thanks.
Maybe 4. Maybe 1.
Maybe we get a 3-episode arc where he just chases down Barb.
She's dead.
Right. We get to see that.
Oh, we get to see when he killed her? Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Stupid Barb.
I don't know. You just made a lot of enemies there. Everybody loves Barb.
Then why is her figure a peg warmer at 5 below?
That's the exclusive one, too. I don't
know. Is it really?
Yeah, it was like an exclusive at GameStop, I think.
Oh.
Even GameStop on that $5 day deal thing that they did for that 1 week. They sold them at $5 too. They were like, wait a minute, Five Below is doing this? We should do this too.
Interesting. That's funny.
Yeah.
So, all right, I guess before we talk about this, Hasbro has been, speaking of toys, has been doing all their Comic-Con exclusives, Maddie Collector style.
For like the last, it's not really Maddie Collector style.
Well, because Maddie Collector did that too, where they would like put the stuff out after the fact.
After
but like,
fact.
Like Hasbro,
if you had a subscription to Maddie Collector like I did,
right,
you got the stuff.
Right.
Like you had the option of buying the stuff beforehand, and it's like they're making it where it's literally
it's a
Mad
lottery,
Max,
yeah,
internet gauntlet,
Thunderdome.
Well, no, it literally is like you're getting chased to get this stuff.
Yeah,
and people are getting mad, and
oh yeah,
you know.
So you got all the Star Wars ones you wanted.
Yeah.
Which was just the two figures, right?
Yeah, the Sith Trooper and the Boba Fett.
And then I see the Sith Trooper is already up for pre-order for just the standard Black Series
standard
version.
Standard Sith
but
Trooper.
It doesn't come with all the accessories.
Nah, the accoutrements.
So.
Now I have all of the modern from Force Awakens up. I have all the San Diego exclusives
they did.
So the First Order Trooper, Jen Erso, I think it was a Praetorian.
Oh, yeah, it was with the
and,
soft
Rex.
Yeah. Rex was the Hascon.
Okay. Well, so. I've got all those convention okay. exclusives in oh, those boxes nice. And that type of stuff. So it was like, I got one. I should have bought two because I know there's probably people that would have needed it, and yeah. I was there and I could have done it. But
it's an interesting looking figure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Although, like, it's weird that they're calling it a Sith trooper.
Because it's an Emperor trooper.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see.
I mean, there's the First Order jet troopers, and then they're showing like that there might be a Sith jet trooper.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe all the First Order converts to Sith halfway through the movie. But
no more rule of two. It's now the rule of 2000.
Their uniforms are a combination of First Order, Death Trooper, and Stormtrooper, it looks like.
Yeah.
So I don't know what their deal is.
I don't know.
But like you said, in the if the books are canon, then the Emperor set all this up anyway. Right. So they're hanging out on that fleet of Star Destroyers.
Yeah, the very Empire fleet of Star Destroyers.
Oh, it's the Emperor's personal fleet is what it is.
With Rey Sloan and her ilk. Anyway.
Well, and then there was, what was it, FanX convention this past weekend, Salt Lake, that Disney made them cancel a panel with Hayden Christensen and Ian McDiarmid.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, they got a...
they were afraid of what they were going to say accidentally.
Because their rumor is that Hayden Christensen is in this movie. Maybe just as a Force ghost, I would say. But, yeah. You know, he'll be at the end with Luke and Yoda hanging out on a tree branch.
And Obi-Wan all just hanging
well,
out.
Well, it'll be Ewan as Obi-Wan. Just, you know.
Older, yeah.
Yeah, just so they can piss everybody off at that point. Why couldn't you have digitally put Alec Guinness in there?
How
you know what I would do?
Dare you?
Just to be an asshole, I would digitally put Alec Guinness in there as a young Alec Guinness from like Bridge Over River Kwai in a Jedi uniform.
There you go.
And everybody be like, that's not Alec Guinness. That's Ewan McGregor. And I'd be like, nope, that's Alec Guinness.
False. Go watch some old movies.
Then I'd find a picture of, what was his name? Sebastian Shaw or whatever that played Anakin Young. And do that same thing, and they'd be like, wait a minute.
Get Sebastian Stan to stand in for Luke. For
then
Mark
I'd
Hamill.
Have Frank Oz as Yoda.
But Frank Oz, not yeah, Yoda.
Exactly. Miss Piggy.
With ears.
Yes,
with exactly. Like, or get Mel Brooks as yogurt.
Yeah.
Really mess with people.
No, I'm like, if he shows up as some kind of hologram, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he did in Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Hayden, but
no, it was
Anakin
Matt,
did.
Yeah, Anakin did.
But, I mean, that's kind of a cool thing to, like, you know, acknowledge everything in the final Skywalker saga movie that it all
It would
happened.
Be great if Rey found, like, a Ezra's
true.
Holocron
mm-hmm.
with that he had with Anakin's fighting techniques.
Yeah.
That'd be really neat.
I mean, I don't know what that means for anything because it's like if Hayden shows up, it's like, I don't know who they're doing fan service for.
Because those movies were so popular.
Me, because I liked Hayden.
Hayden was great.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, Hayden was great. I like.
He's the only thing that I should have done at Celebration that I didn't do.
Yeah.
I should have got his autograph.
I mean, I debated the whole time we were there.
Yeah.
Like about
either got his got a picture with him or got his autograph.
But. Yup. And then you didn't get any of the other Hasbro Pulse ones, did you?
Yeah, I got the collector and Game Master.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That two-pack.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted it.
Did you get it yet? Did it come?
Oh, yeah, it came. Okay. I still haven't opened the box.
The box that it shipped in?
Yeah, the box that it shipped in, which looked fine, so I didn't freak out, so I didn't open it.
So
it's kind of like when I got the Thor 5-pack a couple years ago.
That was a cool set.
And I literally opened the box, took it out, looked at it, put it back in the box, and it's still in the box, sitting in the storage unit somewhere.
I got the Optimus Prime Ghostbuster mashup.
Optimus Prime.
Yep, because he's covered in slime.
Ah,
Prime.
Nice.
Anyway, but he's kind of cool. And I like the box because it's a proton pack.
Well, you just need to buy the Ectotron.
Right? I saw it last night for $99 on Walmart.com.
Ectotron?
Yeah.
Is it sold out on Pulse?
It was, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It might be back.
It keeps popping
know.
Up
yeah.
up and down on there.
But yeah, it was funny. I saw that one like on the Walmart marketplace.
Huh.
So, not from like Walmart. But,
right. It's the sellers like Amazon and all that.
Yep.
eBay. of Walmart. So.
But yeah, if someone's interested in the Optimus Prime, let me know. I'm not 100% sure if I'm going
to
keep it.
Wrap it up. Give it to somebody for Christmas. I don't have to spend any other money.
I don't like anybody that much.
Oh, that's nice.
All right.
I'll remember that at Christmas.
Hey, I take care of you at Christmas. I get you good stuff.
That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, but you're just going to give it away.
I would not give that away. I definitely would not give that away.
And I just gave you a TV. Did you set that up yet?
No, oh. I haven't had time. I'm on vacation next week. I'll probably set it up then.
Cool. All right.
I have to drill a hole into the stand upstairs. It has a hole. You've never looked at the back of your TV before?
Yeah, it has a hole. But
yeah, you screw a screw into that?
Yeah, I didn't need to do that.
Well, I would so need to do that upstairs because the floor shakes a little bit.
Cool.
And a tube television weighs like 3,000 pounds, so you never have to worry about it falling off of something.
Well, my new one's mounted to the wall now.
Oh, see? Yeah, that's the same problem. But I have to drill a hole and then get a
lag bolt.
Yeah, something. So
just zip tie.
It'll be fine.
Just zip tie it.
That would work too.
Cool. All right, let's talk about Mindhunter.
Sure.
Because goddamn, this was a good season.
So I liked stuff and I didn't like stuff.
So in season one, David Fincher did like everything, right? He directed all eight episodes, whatever it was.
Yeah, he didn't direct all the episodes this
time. No, he did less than half of them this time. And this time out it was,
which means he's probably directing a movie.
He was working on a movie. Right. So and it's Andrew Dominik and Carl Franklin, who are both like
people that he works with, I'm
pretty
sure.
Yeah, they're guys he's worked with. Yeah, I really, really enjoy this. Like, I was just gonna kind of, I don't know,
meander through it.
Yeah, like go slow, and I ended up watching the whole thing in like 2 days, which for me is fast now. But
I watched it all one day.
Yeah, but you have Mondays off, so
it was just one of those things where I was like, I'm starting this. I may as well just go ahead and do it.
What were your overall impressions of the season?
Overall, I enjoyed it. I mean, like I said, there's a few little things that I was like, eh, you know. But otherwise, it was an enjoyable season.
There was one, like, storyline that I didn't care for just because I thought, like, it was gratuitous and unnecessary.
Was it his son?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the part I didn't like.
It was totally – it was just there for gratuity's sake to say, look, this can happen to these guys at home.
Yeah. And I was like, we've seen Dexter.
Right.
I literally was like, we've seen Dexter.
And I mean, the kid is already like autistic. Like, we know this already. And so
I would have liked more focus on more of the serial killers.
Yeah.
Seeing Anna Torv's character getting into the field and interviewing more. That was interesting.
I really
the whole thing
see...
with the head of their division being fired.
Right.
Because retired, I should say. Yeah. And the whole reveal of that was awesome because it's like all of a sudden it was just like he's laying into I can't remember any character's name. Jonathan Groff's character.
Holden Ford.
Holden, yeah. He's laying into Holden in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. This makes more sense.
So.
And David Fincher and his crew must be fans of Fringe.
Oh.
Because the guy who took his place as the head of the division.
Oh, is he?
He was on Fringe. He was a semi-regular.
Ah, all right.
Mr. January, I think, was his name.
Yeah, I still didn't watch.
Yeah.
I don't think it's even on anything right now, streaming.
I don't know.
It was on Amazon, but... yeah, I like Holt McCallany, like Tench.
Yeah, he's been around forever.
I like him whenever he shows up in things.
Sure.
Anna Torv is really good.
I kind of... Her story...
Yeah.
With the relationship was kind of boring.
So, you know, when she was in Boston in season one,
yeah,
she was out and proud.
Right.
And then she came to DC and she had to kind of go pseudo back into the closet.
Yeah, because it's what, 70s, early 80s?
This is like 81, 82.
Right, yeah.
And
the first season was more 70s.
Yeah.
And this is, early 80s.
So it was kind of weird. I thought that was a weird like choice to make for the character.
Well, I thought like when they had her going out with the other guy and interviewing, I thought that was going to be what we were going to see, is her starting to take more of a handle of dealing with these people and interviewing these people and seeing how, from her perspective as a woman and as a lesbian,
well, and how as a
dealing with it,
like,
and the citizen,
top
instead
of her field
of a,
in psychology.
I was
going to
say, instead
too,
of an agent, a citizen, just a regular citizen.
Yeah,
because
she's a civilian.
Yeah, just seeing how she was going to deal with it, and I thought, oh, that's what they're going to do with it, because she does the one interview, and then they totally just 180'd it, and she's getting into a relationship that don't go so well.
No. I want to see her and Holden going out on interviews together.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Like, because,
see, and that's what I thought with the whole thing where they were like setting it up where her and Holt McNally's character is supposed to be watching
him. Yeah, rein him in.
Yeah, rein him in and take care of him and make sure he doesn't lose it again. I thought that's what we were going to get, and they totally just went off that path.
Yeah.
Like, even him in Atlanta was like him just doing what he did before.
And so this was really kind of a tale of two halves, right?
Yeah.
Like, the first half of the season was very much Mindhunter season one. The
yeah.
interviews, like, all the way up until Manson.
Yeah.
And Tex. Right?
Yep.
Tex. Yeah. Which was great. Both of those guys were awesome. So, but it was about, like, the interviews.
I've never seen Tex interviewed in real life. Like, I've never seen any interviews with him, so I didn't have anything to really, like, go on. Manson, I was like, this is just pretty much word for word some of the shit that he spewed.
And then that guy played Manson in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Dewey Crow.
And he was Dewey Crow on what's it called? Justified.
Yeah, because that's what was cool, was seeing him in this compared to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because in Once Upon a Time, he's playing a little bit younger, no facial hair, like, you know, and then this one, he's like straight up like swastika, full beard, older. And I'm like, he actually has his character down. Like if they do another Helter Skelter movie, he would be perfect.
Oh, I think at any point now, if someone does a Manson movie, they got to get him. So I'm not, I didn't like dislike the second half of the season at all, right? But it was more like a crime procedural.
Oh, with the
Atlanta
stuff?
Child killings.
Yeah.
Now, but we'll get to that. But the interviews this time out were really good, especially when they got back to when they got to Manson and Ed Kemper was in that same prison.
Yeah, they're all in the same.
Like, and they went to talk to him first. And, you know, he's like, everybody wants to talk to Charlie. And, like, you know, he was, like, legitimately mad that they were there to talk to Manson and not him.
Yeah, because he thinks of them as his friend.
Well, right. And the way when he hugged Holden at the end of season one and he had the panic attack and was in the hospital was, it was really cool to see that follow-up at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I really like Cameron Britton. He's a good actor.
He was fun in Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As Hazel.
He's only been in four episodes of Mindhunter.
Yeah, but he's, like, done so much with the four episodes he's had.
Yeah. The fun thing is going and watching the, trailers they did, on Netflix. You can
The
trailers. And one of them is just a trailer with him sitting in a room and he's talking about becoming the character. And he's talking as Cameron Britton. And then he turns into Ed Kemper.
He morphs into Kemper.
Like, he literally, the voice just changes at one point when they're doing his makeup and that. And you're like, that's scary.
Was that for season one or two?
I think it was season one they did that.
Yeah, that'd be worth checking out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, no. And then the other thing is kind of the BTK killer stuff.
That's just building up, because I think that'll be the final season, is that BTK stuff.
So the BTK killer was caught in, like, sometime in the 2000s, like 2003 through 5, somewhere around there, I think I remember reading.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the case super well. Like, you know, I mean, obviously I've heard of him. But, and you know, these two, you know, Tench and Ford are based on the real life behavioral science.
Right. Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
But they both had retired.
Ford's character is based off the guy who wrote the book.
Yeah.
And then Tench obviously is his partner.
Yeah. But, they had both retired long before the BTK killer was caught.
Well, sure. Yeah.
So I wonder if they're going to, you know, that's going to be their last case together. Maybe Ford's last case or something, like you
Tench's.
Said. So
it'll be Tench's last case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really interesting. It was really interesting watching Ford get obsessed with Atlanta.
With that, but that's what he is. Right. He's obsessive compulsive.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you know, and it's like, but to get obsessed and then like the craziness of that case, anyways.
Yeah.
And
did you know about that?
I mean, he was involved with that case because I went and looked up after like I was watching it. So the actual agent was involved with that case. So everything that's happening in those episodes is stuff that happened, just
right, dramatized,
twisted a little bit, yeah, skewed a little
bit.
Did
you know much about that?
No, I never heard of it before, and I'm like, why would this be one that I've never heard of when I've like watched a lot of the stuff about serial killers and that, and it's like because at a certain point, and you know, it's one of those things because the case was closed and now they're reopening it because somebody says they should reopen it. I don't feel like it was all a serial killer. Like, I think that somebody was a serial killer. Could have been the guy who they got.
Right.
But there were so many kids killed that at a certain point it was either two serial killers doing two different styles.
Right.
And they were just distracted because they were focusing on one.
Yeah.
Because it just seemed like, you know, reading about what happened to the kids, and they weren't all kids, they were teenagers too.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like it all could have been just one person.
Right. And no, you're right.
And that's literally like what I'm like, as these agents, I'm like, do you think that was just one person? It's like, but
they just kind of zoned in on the idea.
But the thing that I also look at for this show, because it is the opening of the behavioral sciences, is that they don't know.
Right.
And I mean, you know, it's been known that people like serial killers have worked together before, mm-hmm. and that, but they usually can't because they don't mesh. They all have their own style.
Right.
And that's what I'm like. It just was funny because it's like, you know, watching the show, you're like, oh, this is dramatized and all that type of stuff. But then you go and read like what was going on in Atlanta at the time. Then mm-hmm. they acknowledge stuff like the mayor and, you know, kind of was a figurehead and not a real mayor. And that, and the Klan obviously is always going to be a problem in the South. But the Klan was an issue that they had to deal with. And it was one of those things where just reading about these kids like disappearing and then showing up months later, some years later, they found pieces or parts of them. And I'm like, it just didn't sound like it was one person.
Right.
I mean, yeah. the evidence they had on that, the guy, and I can't remember his name at this point, but like, it's been 2-3 weeks since I watched it, but the evidence they had on him was very solid.
Yeah.
Like very solid. And I'm like, yeah, he probably did do some of this, but I don't think he did all of it.
No.
And I'm like very curious to see where this investigation that they're reopening goes.
Yep. So do you think they reopened it because of the show?
No, I think it
happened long, but like it happened back in March that they reopened it.
I think it's been an issue like for years,
mm-hmm.
and it just happened to, you know. And it may have been something to do with this show because obviously it was in production.
Right.
And that, and since it premiered just recently, it was already like probably in post production. But so they were aware of it because some of it was shot in Atlanta.
Yeah, they knew it was coming.
So, yeah, they knew that, you know, this was going to happen.
I will say it's really strange, right? Like the political side of it didn't want any of this brought to light because of the airport at the time.
Well, yeah.
Because in like
the Atlanta International
I know you
Airport.
Don't fly.
But I've driven past that airport. All right, I mean, it's
that
like
airport
a city unto itself.
It's a hellscape.
Yeah.
What did you say last week? It's something on top of a hell, something on in a hell mouth.
Oh, it's like literally like you're on different levels of hell all stacked on top of each other and then dropped into a hole.
Yeah. And then in
Hellmouth.
That's the Atlanta International Airport. And it's hilarious because they talk about how they're the most efficient airport in the world. And it's like, no, it's really not. I hate it.
It just looks very like large.
So like you fly. Because
Atlanta's a big city.
Yeah, Atlanta has 9 million people.
And then the airport's what, like a half hour south of the city.
Yeah.
So it's not even in Atlanta.
Well, I mean, it's like CVG.
Yeah,
it's not even in Cincinnati.
Yeah. Well, I've never said that the Cincinnati airport is in Cincinnati. I mean, like, but I'm like, they pushed it on the show. On the show, they made it like, this is going to be Atlanta's premier thing, and blah blah blah. And I'm like, Ah, just wait, Dragon Con's coming. But even that has a dark thing to it. That I'm like, you know, what's going on in Atlanta?
It's a crazy place.
It's cursed because they burnt it down and then rebuilt it.
It's a crazy town,
but it's like anytime you get a big city, because Cincinnati to me is not a big city.
No, it's medium to small.
Anytime you get a big city with that many people in it, a lot of crazy stuff's going to happen. So
you just get a lot of strange people. I'm really surprised that I was just going to say, like, the few times I've been in Atlanta, I don't remember seeing a lot of homeless people, but it gets really, really hot there. So I imagine
they're all under the bridges during the summertime.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I
remember, like, homeless people. I don't remember seeing except at night
in Atlanta.
A few times during Atlanta. Yeah. Well, we didn't, we only stayed downtown once, and then, like, we stayed in Kennesaw, which is north. But, like, even then, you're, like, you kind of just are, like, huh, different things in different cities, that type of thing. And that, so
that's one of the kind of the cool things about traveling around is you get to see all these different cities and how people are. Let's talk about...
You know, you don't realize that Atlanta's as hilly as it is.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Let's talk about Tench's kid for a sec. Tench's kid.
Boring.
So... He's playing with a bunch of older boys.
Is he a killer? Is he not?
Well, who are somehow playing with a toddler, right?
It sounded like they kidnapped him.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean, they never really acknowledged it because it was one of those things where, you know, it wasn't talked about. So they were literally doing it like you were there, like you were, we don't talk about this. You know, it was a bad thing, but we don't talk about it.
So they spent the whole first season alluding to the fact that he had autism.
Yeah.
And I don't know when autism became like the actual diagnosis
there's something off about him.
Yeah. And, you know, like he had seen a child psychiatrist and then what's his wife's name? Nancy.
Yeah.
Has like a huge problem with like this kid talking to a professional and she just wants to move.
Then you wouldn't do
that. Yeah, it's so funny to looking at it through today's lens, right?
Yeah.
And
there's still that still happens. I mean, that's still.
But like child services now would have just literally taken that kid out for a period of time to, you know, see what was going on.
It's, whereas as like soon back as they then, found out was, what yeah. Bill was doing professionally. They would have started questioning him more about what's going on.
The kid saw all those pictures last season. And then Bill lied about it. But I don't think Bill knew he saw him, did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he got mad.
She confronted him.
Yeah.
That's when he said he had to put a lock on the door and that type of stuff.
I don't know. It just felt like a really weird detour. And then having him fly home every weekend seemed just kind of dumb.
That was part of the whole, like... tension between him and Holden, I think.
Right.
Because it was a tense thing. And that, so.
Well, funny thing is, I don't think Holden ever thought he was doing anything wrong. Right?
He doesn't. But he's kind of on that spectrum, too. I mean,
yeah, he definitely is. Yeah. So.
I mean, the thing is like, I think it's funny because how much, and I don't know, like, the whole history of the behavioral sciences, but if the Jim Barney character the agent from Atlanta got passed over and then they had him working that case, they were idiots for passing him over.
Right,
he was awesome.
Yeah, he was great.
Like the actor's name's Albert Jones. Mm-hmm. Like he would walk into a room and just be like standing there and you'd be picking up like, hey, he's thinking this
or, right,
yeah, he's got this going on, and
we see what he's laying down there. I don't know, man.
Yeah, his subtleties are awesome, like the subtlety of his acting.
What has
like
he been
awesome.
In before?
Oh, I don't know, let me look.
He was, like I said, like he was really good. I liked everything with him.
I'm just like, I mean, when he showed up again, I'm like, oh cool, that guy's back.
Yeah, Barney was a good character. What was the guy who was going on the interviews with, I'm forgetting the names now too, because it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Going on the interviews with Wendy. Like, I could do without him on the show.
Well, but yeah, but he's the one they hired instead that was supposed to be the better of the two. And I'm proving to them that he sucks.
I'm just thinking though, like, and maybe it's that partly that actor. Like, I just don't like. Well, that's, I don't
he
dig
was,
him.
He was
so.
Cast but perfectly.
Though. Yeah, I did like when they sent him into downtown.
Albert Jones was in an episode of Marvelous Miss Maisel. Plays a lot of CIA agents and other type of agents, and he's a lot of one episodes on TV shows.
Yeah, like what? Well, Mrs. Maisel.
He's in two episodes of House of Cards.
Okay.
He was on an episode of Elementary. He was on an episode of, or two episodes of The Following.
Oh, the Kevin Bacon one.
Yeah.
That was the serial killer cult thing, right?
He was in Salt. The Following.
Salt. Oh, with Angelina Jolie.
Jolie.
You know that movie?
Oh, he was a witness on an episode of Fringe.
Ah, there you go.
He's been in Cadillac Records, American Gangster,
okay.
Bourne Ultimatum.
Oh, yeah.
He played a tactical team agent.
Okay.
He was on an episode of Rescue Me, playing boyfriend number one.
To whom? I
and anybody's career starts out well when they're on Law and Order.
Ah, yeah.
And two different episodes, two different characters.
That happens a lot.
And he was also on Criminal Intent as a detective.
Yeah, hey, interesting. So, yeah, I hope he gets it. What's the actor's name?
Albert Jones.
Albert Jones. Let's see. I want him to get more work. He was good. I liked him.
He graduated from the University of Notre Dame in 1997.
All right, I'm out. Forget it. I don't want him to work ever again. Stupid domers.
What is that?
What?
You and your sports talk. This is not a sports podcast.
This isn't a sports ball podcast.
So
we don't want to talk about how the Giants shat the bed against the Cowboys on Sunday.
Mindhunter season 2 didn't consult families of Atlanta child murder victims.
Oh, interesting. Didn't. Yeah.
Did
not. Did
not.
Okay.
But they had enough of the, you know.
I mean, there was so much coverage that they had. And so I liked how when he was running that cross to the church, trying to get it to the church. And they intercut with, like, the older-looking film, so you made it think it was, you know, happening. What?
Oh, just reading that little bit. It's like, yeah, they didn't care.
So were the families upset?
I didn't really say. I'm sure they probably were. But it was one of those things where they didn't have to, you know, do that. They didn't have to go to the families.
No. And, you know, maybe
out of
they
respect
were
for the families, I wouldn't have gone to the
families.
I was
going to say, maybe they were trying to be sensitive and not go so that they could, you know, help them out. Or not help them out, not drudge up past memories and traumas and stuff. But
is that the guy that you're talking about? The other agent?
No, the older guy.
What older guy?
The one who ratted, who snitched.
That okay.
Greg.
Yeah.
So Greg with two G's. Joe Tuttle is the actor.
Oh, Greg Smith. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one who I can do without.
Yeah.
Greg Smith. So
just because of the character.
Yeah, just the character, not the actor or anything like that. Yeah. Like I just think it's a dumb character.
You wonder if that actually was a real thing that happened, though.
I would assume it is, just from, you know, the history of
America.
Going to
be traveling. Buy this book. Read it. Tell us about it. The book is called Mindhunter: Inside the FBI's Elite Serial Crime Unit, written by John Douglas and Mark Olshaker.
Okay. And they're the
I believe that John Douglas is the Holden Ford character. I don't know if Mark Olshaker is the Bill Tench.
I don't think so.
I don't think they.
I wonder if there's an audiobook version of that.
There might be.
But yeah. Oh yeah, right here.
There you go. If you're more curious about it, you can listen to it. Charlize Theron, a producer on the show too? Okay.
She was in the first season as well.
Okay.
So,
I just going through the trivia real fast and seeing that it says Charlize Theron and David Fincher had introduced the project to HBO in 2009.
Oh. Yeah, it was her and Fincher and then like a list of other people. But I have to say, how would you feel if Netflix did this series weekly instead of just putting it out all at once.
I'd be okay with it.
Like, I feel like binging this show, you kind of lose something a little bit.
I don't, like, agree with that. I mean, it's just the build up to
But
there was nothing to the end of this season.
Well, there was nothing to the end of the first season either, though.
I mean, oh, he had his.
Well, I guess he had his confrontation. Attack. Yeah.
He got hugged and didn't enjoy it.
He got some love from his friend Kemper.
I just think that, like, this, the end of this season, that, like, if they would have amped up the BTK thing a little bit,
yeah.
Even though the BTK.
It's still killer, decades away.
No. No.
I mean, for them.
Decades away. Well, yeah. So, you know.
I mean. Because, like, they do talk a lot about, like, oh, well, there's the ones that we don't know about and things like that. Well,
yeah, because there's a lot of, like, serial killer, you know, there's a lot of mysterious disappearances in the world and that could be contributed to serial killers that nobody knows about.
That may never have actually done what they're saying. It's like assassins.
Well,
right?
it's literally the, yeah, it's the tall tales thing, you know, Davy Crockett. Is a perfect example. Davy Crockett killed a bear when he was only 3, but nobody could prove that. Just part of a song, you know. But like a lot of the stuff that was contributed to, like, Johnny Appleseed,
right?
Even like George Washington, yep. Abraham Lincoln, and that. You have historical recordings of some stuff. Other stuff didn't happen. Like you know, when Abraham Lincoln was fighting vampires in the woods, nobody was recording that.
Well, I mean, you're not going to record that. Yeah, I mean, that's so fantastical and, you know, but man,
no, I think like
he was
real
a
life,
very good vampire.
Real life serial killers. They're out there.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that it's with what's going on with the BTK in this show. They're learning how serial killers work. Every serial killer they've encountered so far has not had a family, has killed family, and has their focuses. BTK was all over the place.
Right, he didn't.
BTK
he didn't
had
fit
a
just
wife.
One profile, yeah.
BTK had a kid.
Right.
When Stephen King wrote a book, and it was very similar to the BTK thing, and I can't remember the name of the book, the daughter came out and was like pretty much railing him because he wrote this book, and it's like, well, the book don't have anything to do with your father. And that, but she felt like it did.
Yeah, it's like one of those things, like any similarities are unintended.
It was, I mean, it's very similar, but like it's one of those things too where it's like, you know, the BTK killer was an anomaly.
Yeah, there's a scientist who estimates
Dennis Rader. That's his name.
Okay.
And I mean, if you look at that guy, he looks like
the
actor. The
actor looks just like him. Estimates there's 2,000 serial killers currently at large in the U.S.
That's possible.
Of course, then a year later, there's an article, are American serial killers a dying breed? So
it's not as easy, but you still can do it. I think when the internet started, it kicked up a little bit more, but now it's like there's CCTV cameras
everywhere.
So it says that
I have one on the
BTK
front of my house
killer
to catch douchebag
active.
FedEx drivers who threw a package.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about BTK.
Yeah,
well, he was active from 74 to 91.
91, but
killed
he wasn't 10
caught people.
Right away.
10 people.
Okay.
He caught 10 people. Or he killed 10 people in Wichita area. That's the thing, is he killed 10 people in Wichita area. They think that some of the other people that were killed were people that he, oh, wow, he started killing people a year before I was born. Like, literally the dates they have span of crimes. January 15th, 1974 to January 19th, 1991. Date apprehended, February
25th, 2005. That's a solid, you know.
They had to build a case.
Yeah.
They really had to build a case against this guy.
What did you think about the guy who, like, escaped, the one who had been shot in the face?
Yeah.
That was really cool because we never saw his face.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Like, and I'm glad we didn't. Like, that
would
have been.
Well, it's like, you know, they couldn't, the makeup, they couldn't do that makeup.
No, probably not.
On, well, I mean, because their budget was focused on, like, Charlie Manson and a couple of the other ones to make them look like it. They had to actually put them in makeup.
Yeah.
And that, but
well,
yeah.
And I imagine a fair bit of their budget goes to finding and restoring junker cars from the 70s you know, drive around in.
I don't think that would be as hard, but a lot of those cars are still out there somewhere.
Just depends on the shape, so.
I don't remember that guy's name. That.
Which one?
The one where he killed the sister and.
Oh, I don't remember. So,
the Otero family, though.
Yeah.
When he was arrested, he confessed to that killing.
The
Otero family, where it was the father and the kids. And
Yeah.
That one he confessed to like right away.
See, this makes me wish I would have called Joyce from Time Life Books and gotten the serial killers set so we could just thumb through it and talk about all the serial killers.
Well, you have the internet.
Don't you just miss a good old-fashioned encyclopedia? Just doing your research, like pages and paper cuts and...
Internet.
Go in the library, the moldy smell, microfiche.
Internet.
yeah. I don't know. I will say I love the look of this show. I love the music on this show. I think
the music has really become a character.
It does something really, really cool as far as like building tension. Because if you think about it, right, these guys aren't the guys who are out there solving crimes necessarily.
They're not supposed to be.
No, they're there after the fact, and they still make it feel really tense when they're figuring out who's killed whom.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was the part where I was like, you know, they kind of went a little bit above and beyond with the behavioral sciences unit sitting out doing stakeouts. I'm like,
yeah,
they wouldn't be doing that. Yeah. Not in real life.
I don't know.
I don't think. Maybe back then they might have because they weren't who, you know, they weren't who they are now. But
I did love.
Now it's a bunch of science geeks in a room.
The bureaucratic cop who was like, you have to have a purchase order for this and. You know, with the printing the flyers and everything.
Oh, the one that, what's his name had to deal with?
Yeah, Ford had to deal with on his own. That was just funny because it's like, all right, hold on. Like,
it was also showing the racism, too, right. Because it was a white, fat cop who lived in Atlanta and kind of came off that way anyways. Like, his attitude was kind of like, that's a bunch of black kids. Who cares?
Right. And that was
the thing. Like, some of the cops you could tell, like, were like, concerned,
yeah,
and then other cops were like,
we're just mailing it.
We don't care.
And then the one guy, the prosecutor or the DA, who's, you know, speaking at essentially
so the music's done by a gentleman named Jason Hill.
Okay, cool.
And like last season, the music was part of the show, but like this season, it literally felt like it became a character. And so that's what is interesting about it. I think.
Yeah, it did a really good job.
And I've seen other people comment about that, like, you know, that it really this year, it's like, wow, it stepped it up a little bit. And he's not really done anything that I've heard of, so, like, music-wise. But he's also a producer. He produced Gone Girl. He was one of the producers on Gone Girl.
Oh, cool. I just watched that not too long ago. That's a good movie.
Gone Girl?
Yeah.
We've seen that in the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying I rewatched it.
Yeah. It's disturbing.
It was like $4.99 on iTunes, so I bought it.
It's disturbing. I think I got it on a Black Friday.
Yeah. They had like a whole like Ben Affleck thing one week where it was like The Accountant and Gone Girl and The Town, all for $4.99. So I was like, oh, all right. Yeah. All and then when John Wick 3 came out, they had all the Keanu movies, or not all, but a bunch of the Keanu movies for $4.99. So I was like, oh, bop.
You were like, whoa.
Well, I know Keanu feel.
You're like, I'm going to buy all of these.
Because he is an FBI agent. Now what iTunes has, you'll get a kick out of this.
He's a time traveler, too.
Yeah. iTunes has the thing where it's like the original version of the movie and the remake of the movie is a bundle.
Okay.
And like you just go through and you're like, oh, that was crap. That was crap. That was hot crap. That was hot crap on the stick.
Are you talking about the remakes?
Yeah, the remakes and stuff. Okay. Yeah. But Point Break is on there. And I just find it so offensive.
Oh, that remake? I watched that.
It was so bad.
I have one bundle that I bought. And yeah. I think I found it down at McKay's, and that was Clash of the Titans. So it had Clash of the Titans, and then it had Liam Neeson.
Clash of the Titans.
Liam Neeson's Clash of the Titans, since he played Zeus. And I haven't watched either one, but like I'm like, the remake wasn't bad. I wouldn't even have called it a remake. At a certain point, so. No.
And Sam Worthington is just a bad actor, so
he isn't that bad.
He's really bad.
Give him the right thing, and he's not that bad.
I don't know. So season three, there will be a season three. Hopefully, they don't wait almost 2 years.
10 years later,
so
they're gonna do it where it's the apprehension of the BTK killer, and it's gonna be 20 years from now we get season three.
Yeah,
I don't think that'll happen.
I don't either. They're saying we wouldn't expect new Mindhunter to drop much earlier than 2020, so you know, a year away.
Well, that's only like next year.
So,
but then again, we got last year. We got the first season, so a year.
Well,
is a year.
They started filming. They did season two. They filmed it in 2018, April to December 2018. So then it didn't come out until.
So they were filming it before the first season premiered? Because the first season premiered last year, didn't it?
No, the first season was in 2018.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
So, or 2017.
Jonathan Groff's got voice characters to record for, okay? He's got very important Disney movies to be doing.
Kristoff isn't gonna voice himself.
That's right. McNulty's gotta just drink a lot. Because I feel like that's what he probably does in real life, is just drink a lot.
Oh, Colt, yeah.
Yeah. Colton.
I liked him in that show, Lights Out, the boxing show.
Oh, I never
watched. Where he was
that
the boxer,
one.
That
yeah.
was good.
He shows up and stuff, and you're just like, oh, hey, there's that guy.
I totally forgot he was in The Losers.
Is he?
He's Jason Patrick's like main henchman.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So,
yep. That's who that is.
Max's main henchman. Yeah, but he shows up a lot as like a mercenary military type.
Oh, yeah, because that's what he looks like.
But yeah,
I mean,
dude, he's terrifying. You know. Like, I wouldn't want to run into him. Like, he looks terrifying, but.
I'd be like, how do you pronounce your last name, sir?
Mackle.
And now we have to fight. McCallinanny is what I would say. McCallinanny.
Yeah.
He was in Fight Club.
Yeah, he was
the mechanic.
Yeah, he was the one of the first guys in Project
Mayhem. So he's been
Mayhem.
In 81 things.
Yeah. He's got a huge career.
Let's go to the beginning.
Okay. Probably in like Rockford and Son or something.
See, All My Children.
Okay. For how long?
One episode.
Oh, okay.
He was in Creepshow 2.
Okay.
He was in Shakedown.
Shakedown.
With Peter Weller and
Sam
Elliott.
Yeah.
Alien 3 is where I think I first seen him, probably.
Yeah.
He plays one of the prisoners on the planet.
Yeah.
He's got a shaved head
right.
and everything.
Like they all do.
Yeah. And he's just been in a lot of stuff. Oh, yeah. He's in The Peacemaker.
Oh, with George Clooney?
He also was in Three Kings.
Three Kings is a great movie.
With George Clooney.
And Ice Cube. And Spike Jones.
He was in a Star Wars video game called Demolition.
Oh, he was in Shot Caller. Do you remember? Did you watch Shot Caller yet? With
yeah,
Jamie Lannister?
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
a good one. Oh, he was in Sully. He was in the second Jack Reacher movie.
He was?
That's what it says here.
See, I was going through his career in chronological
order. Oh, I just pulled it up and it showed me the.
He's a burglar in Justice League.
Cool.
Uncredited. So he's the one at the beginning that Batman is setting the trap for the parademon.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Just in case. Spoilers.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's the one up against the wall there.
Colonel Morgan. Okay, so he's the colonel that, yeah, and Jack Reacher. That replaces, what you call it?
Yeah.
Sully, I don't, he must have been one of the passengers.
Yeah.
He was on 5 episodes of Blue Bloods, probably mm-hmm. playing a cop.
He was in the last season of the of Heroes.
This is exciting for everybody listening.
All right,
you can look it up on IMDb.
He's got a ton of shit. It's awesome.
Well, yeah.
All right, and then you got Holden, who was the king in
Hamilton. So,
well, Jonathan Groff's known for being a Broadway.
Oh yeah, yeah. But
see, here's more interesting is like looking at their trivia, because just looking at their career is like kind of like,
yeah,
hey, that's boring. Yeah, he speaks French.
Ah, interesting. So
raised in Nebraska, attended school in Ireland.
Interesting.
That's weird.
So Mindhunter real quick, season 3. Yeah. Do you want it to pick up right where they left off, or do you want like a 10-year time jump and we get a fully functioning behavioral science unit?
Maybe not 10 years.
Yeah.
Maybe like a few years, but I don't know. I hope that we don't dwell on the whole Tench kid might be a killer Dexter character. Get back to just focusing on the behavioral science unit.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to do personal lives, let's see a little bit more of Wendy being more comfortable with herself.
Yeah. And maybe a little bit of Holden being more awkward around other people.
Bill knows that she's a lesbian.
I don't know. Point.
I think he does.
So I was curious about that because he stopped hitting on her. Like, well, yeah. He didn't really hit on her.
He didn't really hit on her, but like,
he flirted with her.
Yeah. He was flirty with her when he first met her, but like, so. I think he knows.
Yeah.
If he doesn't know for sure, he suspects that.
He suspects there's something with her, yeah. But
that kid even looks creepy in that picture.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like maybe he's like
really... More Jim Barney. That's what I want.
Yeah, more Jim Barney.
More please. Jim Barney.
So, cool. All right.
I don't know, but I you know, it's one of those shows where I'm like I don't know because it's kind of based on a real thing.
Right. But like, do we need to like get their greatest hits, or can we like gloss over some things and get closer to, you know,
just want it to be BTK.
No. It's
the thing where it's like,
be a little more fleshed
at a certain
out.
Point, they're going to be smart enough to announce like 5th season is going to be last season.
Yeah.
Then, well, you know, it's going to jump ahead.
I think Fincher,
but they're
going
to have to introduce
like
new characters. Like, if they jump ahead, they'll have to introduce new characters, and Holden and Bill aren't as important at that point. Because then you're literally introducing a behavioral science unit.
Right.
And then it becomes a whole different type of show.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, but at the same time, do you only want to follow the two of them, or do you want to see, like, maybe Holden gets a protege?
No, I want to follow the three of them because they're the main characters.
Okay.
And I think that's what we were brought in to watch, was these three characters develop this unit and then what happens to them. And that, be it that, you know, these are semi-fake characters, but real things happen to the real people that they can write into the characters.
So you don't want their family life, just their professional life?
Or? I want to see a little bit of the personal side of them, but I don't feel like the whole story with his kid might be, you know... Or his adopted kid or whatever, because they kept pushing that in your face, too.
Yeah, and, like, when she said the thing where she was glad that he didn't come from her.
Well, it would have been a different thing, you know. Now, James Remar found him in the back of a truck and brought him over to Holt McNally and said, here you go. I've got one already. Hold on, I don't need another one.
I found one in this blood-soaked shipping container.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah, I don't need another one.
Consequently, his name is Brian, which was Dexter's brother's name.
Ooh, maybe it's a crossover then.
No. Oh, it's a prequel to Dexter.
No, Fincher wouldn't do that.
No.
I think that the whole thing with Fincher is because he did Zodiac. He's fascinated with the idea of serial killers and Seven, you know.
Seven was.
But I mean, like, you know, it's the fascination. But I hope that he's not working on a movie when the next season is being produced. And that he's more involved.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what happened with the kid. The story with the kid is he wasn't all there. And somebody snuck that in. Because, man, if I was a producer on this show and somebody came to me with that idea, I would have went like, no, that's not what this show's about. That's not what the first season was about. Yeah, there was something wrong with the kid. But, you know, it's like, you know, did we need all that?
Yeah.
We didn't.
Okay, so it says here that it's not officially picked up for a third season yet, but...
Because Netflix has a habit of canceling stuff.
Well, but they also have a habit of not announcing that right away when get to multiple seasons. But
we gotta have
Fincher has said he wants 5
Five seasons. I'm good with five seasons because I think the last season should be, you know, they can progressively move the show along a couple years, jump a couple years ahead, and that, and the last season should be like not the apprehension of the BTK killer, but more of the BTK killer.
I think identifying the BTK killer and like was he the first serial killer where they're like, oh wait, these people have families now? This is a game changer.
I think he was one of the first.
So, like, that would be really cool to have them have to, like, change their methodology.
But there's many serial killers between that time. Like, you know. And
like,
I mean,
like, getting Ted Bundy in there would be interesting.
I think that that's what they'll sneak that one in there on us.
You think they'll pull Zac Efron in for that?
That'd be cool if they did it. I mean, you know, if he would be willing to do it. If he's not filming Fantastic Four at the time.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, like, honestly, he should be wrapped up playing Johnny Storm for, like, the next 10 years.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't know.
Yeah. But, I mean, I would think Bundy.
For Emily Blunt's little brother.
Bundy would be an ideal one that they could use.
Yeah.
And that he would escape, obviously, because that's what he did. And that, I don't know who else you could really, like. And I don't know all the cases the behavioral sciences worked on, because I would say, like, they probably worked on Kevorkian and, you know, stuff like that.
Dahmer.
Dahmer be willing to bet that they were working on the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh, McVeigh?
Yeah. Interesting. Exactly. Yeah, probably. So it's like, maybe what it should be is the show should show the progression of what the behavioral science unit becomes because of people and not focus as much on the killers, but focus on why the unit is moving the way it does.
Okay, so they started looking for motives, planning and preparation, details of crimes, and disposal of evidence.
Sure.
And in 1984, it split into two units, one remaining the behavioral science unit and the other behavioral science investigative support unit.
Okay.
And that's responsible for training cadets in behavioral science at the FBI National Academy.
Oh, then it's just the training.
While the first one was. The second one is the infield investigators.
Sure.
And consultations. So.
And, I mean, their job mainly is to talk to these people and figure out what is going on in their heads. Yeah. And that, but, I mean, you know, how much do they stick to the real life stuff? How much do they go off the rails? You know, it'd be one of those things where I don't sit there and read everything about the behavioral sciences unit because, you know, I'm just being entertained.
So in 2008, they opened the behavioral science unit, opens the Evil Minds Research Museum, where the FBI houses artifacts from serial killers and other offenders.
Okay.
So,
you got to pay for that company or that FBI somehow.
Oh, yeah. So,
well, I mean, everybody does. That's the a fad, I guess, that continues on is museums of some sort or another. You know, everybody who can afford to open a museum will.
You're going to open a museum.
I mean, the FBI probably has it as part of the Smithsonian. I'm sure that unit or that museum is part of the Smithsonian because the Smithsonian has stuff with serial killers and the like.
Yeah.
Probably could look on Mysteries at the Museum episodes and probably find something that involves one of those.
So here's a couple notables for the behavioral science unit.
Yeah.
J. Edgar Hoover, director, for being the founder or the founding director of the BSU. John Edgar Hoover.
Who? J. Edgar Hoover?
Yeah. It says John Edgar. I don't think that's. No, J. Edgar. Yeah. So
J. Edgar Hoover.
He was the founding director
of the FBI.
Oh, is that what they're talking about here?
Yeah.
I'm on a page about just the behavioral science unit.
Oh, I think that J. Edgar Hoover, like, formed the FBI.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I knew that, but I guess, he was dead long before.
Yeah. No.
All right. Weird. I read that wrong. Anyway. Yeah, cool.
Okay. You looked at the clock like, it's an hour. We're good.
No, I just happened to look. I haven't looked this whole time.
We're good.
What else do we have? I mean, what else do we have to say?
I don't know. I mean, I don't rate this show.
Yeah.
It's just,
I don't think you can rate this show. There's nothing like it.
It's entertaining, but you know, it's one of those things where it's an educational show too.
Sort of. Yeah.
Yeah. So I appreciate that.
All right. So I have a question for you.
No, I haven't killed anybody yet.
I think I asked you this.
You can't prove it.
Do you feel like they're setting Holden up to eventually become
Oh, you asked me that last year. No.
No? You don't think? I just have this weird like bug in the back of my head where it's like, he's going to try. He's going to kill somebody.
If he kills somebody, he'll be a killer.
But I almost think it's going to be like a Dexter thing where he kills somebody.
My opinion of that has to do with two things. First of all, he's based off a real person who wrote a book about this unit who never did that.
That we know of.
Well, and second of all, it's Jonathan Groff, who is, you know,
Mr.
Nice,
Disney.
Nice guy. Yeah, nice guy.
Jonathan Groff, you're an actor. You play a role that's not you.
But I don't think that that's the intention of him. He just comes off as like quirky, you know, maybe autistic, and that maybe that's part of what this show is acknowledging is, you know, the autism spectrum that, you know, eventually is figured out too.
Yeah.
So maybe he is something on that spectrum, but I'm like, it doesn't concern me. He just seems obsessive and compulsive.
So I'm just asking. Yeah. Like,
I don't think that you're going to see him fired at some point.
Yes.
I think that it's literally when you say protege, I think that you will see new people and something will happen and he will be fired.
And then they'll have to bring him back.
Yeah. And then like that last season will be focused on BTK because a lot of, you know, our interludes are BTK. And I think that's where
I think all the interludes have been.
They have been. I think there was like one in the first season that was not BTK, but like it was just, you know, something to allude to something that was happening later in an episode. But I think that because of the interludes, the allusions of the BTK, seeing what he's doing over this period of time, because obviously the show starts in the 70s. So it's like, you know, for the start in the 70s and the BTK to start in the 70s, it's just one of those things where it's like they're on the same path.
Yeah.
So it's going to be where that path splits.
They're
and
parallel
maybe,
right now. Yeah. Where do they converge?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
So we'll see. I mean, you know, they've got 3 years now if that's what Fincher wants to do.
Yeah.
And if Netflix is up for it.
I hope you're up for it, Netflix. One thing I would like Netflix to do is to take all those interludes and cut them together, like pull them out of the episodes and cut
like
them together.
Oh, like do a like special feature
there. That would be kind of neat where you can just watch the interludes.
The progression.
Yep.
And that because like the one where he's staying at the girl's house.
Or better yet, Netflix.
And she never shows up.
Right.
So he just gets pissed and bored and leaves.
Put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like cross promote the show so people will watch it and love it because it's really good.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like nothing really bad. I think the autoeroticism was probably the worst.
Yeah, and that was just kind of like weird, but
That was him.
Yeah.
So I mean,
so
you know.
I think Angel would like this show in principle because she likes this kind of stuff.
Yeah, serial killers.
But she wouldn't sleep at night. Like it would freak her out because of the realism.
Yeah, and the thing is like it's not a matter of sleeping at night because, you know, it's just a matter of being aware of your surroundings, and that, and you know, we're in a more paranoid time than the people in the 70s
were.
So, you know, we've seen buildings blown up and we've seen, you know, serial killers.
Well, I mean, as we're recording this, the day before the 18th anniversary of 9/11, you know,
but I mean. I mean, that one affected the whole world, but I remember Oklahoma City, and I remember Columbine. And
well, in the first World Trade Center with the bomb in the subway.
Yeah, 93. Yeah. But, like, you know, I think when Oklahoma happened, it really, like, put a wound in the country. And that, and then, you know, 9/11 just cut deeper.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, Dahmer, Bundy, all that type of stuff.
Kaczynski.
We've seen all that. Gacy and everybody else.
Yeah.
So it's like, we know that stuff. And it's like, you see this and you're like, yeah, it's kind of a more innocent time. Mm-hmm. And that, because I'm like, serial killers have been around for centuries.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. I mean, so it's just one of those things where it's like, where is it going to go? It's going to get dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get really dark, I think. So,
yeah.
You know. I think that the whole Holden character thing, though, is going to be he's either going to be retired or he's going to be fired.
At any point, did you think
Bill's going to die? I think Bill's going to die.
Well, I was going to say, like,
I think he's going to have a heart attack, though. I don't think it's going to be any kind of like he's killed by somebody.
So
I
think
he's just going to have a heart attack at some point.
When they were leading up to the kid, right?
Yeah.
With the door unlocked and everything. I thought it was going to be like a serial killer decides to track them and then decides Bill has to go.
Yeah. But then, like, then you're just getting into fantastical.
Right.
They're trying to stick to a realism on this show of this. This is what the real cases are. And then I don't think, like, you know, the Bill Tench character just comes off as a guy who's going to be overstressed and have a heart attack. And then it's like Holden and Wendy are going to have to pick up the pieces.
Holden will feel responsible.
Yeah. And maybe become better because of it or whatever. That would be kind of an interesting way to go with that.
Right.
And that. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where they go. Cause you know,
who knows?
They could go a whole different direction. Start fighting space aliens or something.
They storm Area 51.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
That's coming up. Are you going to New Mexico?
Remember Star Trek did an episode where they had a serial killer.
Right.
That was taking over, was an alien that took over the bodies of people. And at one point takes over Scotty's body and kills somebody. But they like in that episode, they made that alien seem like he might have been the guy controlling Jack the Ripper. Or the alien was controlling Jack the Ripper.
Right.
The guy who was the Ripper. And I'm like, that's an interesting thought.
Interesting thought.
So, when is the storming Area 51 supposed to happen?
Sometime in September, I think.
Oh, really?
I don't know. No.
I'll be busy.
I don't care.
I'll be busy.
If there's aliens, they know
good
better
luck
than
to you,
to mess with
you
us.
Fine few furious children who will get shot. Because they wait for you to cross the borders and then they shoot you.
Yeah.
With their alien laser gun. So it'll be like Captain.
Oh, God.
It'll be like Captain America First Avenger, where like when they evade the Red Skull's base in the end, and people are getting shot with those
the
guns
the,
and they're
the
just disappearing.
Guns. Yeah.
It'll never be known. Serial killer got you.
What do you mean they stormed Area 51? I don't see any bodies here. What are you talking about?
What are all those black dust marks on the ground? Ah, Thanos was here.
all right. Cool.
Don't storm Area 51. There's nothing there. There's nothing there.
Trust me. Boxes, dust.
It's a storage unit.
Yeah.
And it won't even have anything good.
No.
It'll be like the stuff where Storage Wars opens up its storage unit and goes, it's just full of old papers.
I got a good show we should talk about next week is a couple like or the theme of these shows is Netflix has these new like car restoration where it's like from rust to riches.
Really?
And there's another one called Rust Valley. We watched both of those. They're 8 episodes.
They're kind of a blast, man. Behind in the times.
Yeah,
that's already been like on.
Oh, that's coming gone.
Yeah, TLC did that forever.
So, but now Netflix has it. But they're only 8 episodes, and it's great because you just.
But
are they just
restoring one car?
Well,
like,
no. It's all different things.
Yeah.
So, but.
Chef Show season 2 is coming on Friday.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
I just finished the first season. I'm like, what? I'm like, this just premiered like a month ago.
So I love Chef.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about this. It's in my
fun.
Top 10 movies of all time. Yeah, like the Chef Show was great, especially watching him and Jay going around and recreating some of the scenes that they did in Chef.
I think it's more interesting to watch them with the actual like cooks and chefs that they've like, you know, worked with in the movie. And that I like that they do bring in celebrities once in a while because it's Jon Favreau.
Right.
So he knows people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, but I like to see these people's businesses and you know where they're at and where they were at when they started.
Yeah.
And that it's kind of like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives
a little.
Is,
yeah,
it's like,
I
know.
Like the guy in Atlanta who they went to that then they had like lunch with the Russos and Tom Holland and Downey
Robert
Downey Jr. That's a really cool one because that guy's kitchen was really cool and like the food he made was really interesting. So
but going to Austin and that was interesting and then jumping back to Los Angeles and that because I've never been to Los Angeles, so I don't, you know, but seeing like the street trucks and the like fair atmosphere. Like yeah. it literally looks like a fair.
Right.
And I'm like, that's cool.
But it's
and
a that's Tuesday cool. night.
And it's like they're just they're all just friends hanging out and doing their thing and giving the people good food.
So like other big cities or big cities yeah. like do that. Like, you know, in Austin there's a bunch
either.
Of food trucks and everything.
Well, sure, so, yeah. I mean, there's food trucks down yeah. at Disney, so down at Disney Springs there's 5 or 6 like permanent food trucks okay. now. So, and they're all different people from around the city who have food trucks, and Disney just was like, as part of the community of what they made Disney, downtown Disney into Disney Springs, they wanted to have the community feel and yeah. invited those people to do food trucks.
Cool.
And that, so it's awesome. Kind of cool. All
right. On that note, we'll see you guys next week.
Will we?
Yeah.
I'm on vacation.
No. You're on vacation next week?
I'm on vacation next week.
All right. We got to figure this out. We'll see. Someone will be back next week.
Someone will be back next week.
All right. Later.
All right.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online @JohnnyPodorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.